Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Colossians 3. Changing and growing. It's a good time for us. End of the year, the beginning of the year rolls around. We start to think about change. People call it New Year's resolutions. Of course, those rarely do much. But even more than that, it's a good time of year because as we, as a culture, think about Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, Jesus coming, it's really good for us to remember as a church and to think about the implications of the coming of Jesus Christ. And that, and we'll be talking about that in the next couple of weeks, over the next couple of weeks, about Jesus and Him coming and the implications of that. But for us, even this morning, we think about that, we know that God is very clear on this, that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, His will for you is to change and grow. His will is for you to be becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Then it's not that God comes into this world and goes through all of these things and goes to the cross and redeems you for no purpose. He redeemed you. And that literally means He bought you. He bought you out of the slave market of sin. He is you are His now. And His call on your life then is to be different in this world. Now, praise God, again, His ways are perfect. And His will and plan for us then is progressive sanctification. Change over time. Small changes over time. And I think that's probably part of the reason why so many Christians struggle with so many different issues and areas in their life is because we've missed it on one of many different fronts. Maybe we're just not even have ever been taught about changing and growing, or maybe we know that we should be different, but we don't even have any idea how. And just confronted with so much need for change and such, you know, just, wow, how do I even start? But that's the goodness of God's plan is for us to change over time, to change in little steps. The question we're going to answer today, we're going to try to answer today, is how do people change and grow, and what is your part in the process? So keep that in mind. We talked about this last couple years ago and from when we were doing Ephesians. And, you know, and we looked at this in Second Peter this year again, that you do have a part in the process. And we'll see that even more clearly today. We need to get that. This is a particular message that I'm really looking forward to this morning. And I hope it goes as well as I have it built up in my mind. We'll see. I kind of get off on these tangents and I forget what I'm supposed to be talking about. You've noticed that. But I've really, of course, God is working in my life just as much or more than anyone else. That's why I love doing biblical counseling. That's why I love having discipleship classes. Because, man, what a time of growth for me. You know, you think, oh, there's the teacher. He knows what he's doing. He's got it all together. Well, I'm not Jesus, right? I mean, there's huge tons of stuff that I've grown in this year. One of the things that's really been good for me this last few years, or several more than that, I suppose, is I'm really starting to understand in a deeper way how real change happens. And God has really been helping me in my own life and as I'm helping other people to see how real change happens. And I'm going to try as best as I can to convey that this morning as we look at Colossians 3. We're going to try to keep it as practical as we can this morning. How real change happens in your life. It may surprise you, and it has me. And it's not what we always often think, I think. And that's probably why we miss it so often. Let's go ahead and let's pray together. And well, let's read this passage, Colossians 3, together, and then we'll pray together and we'll dig into this portion of text. And it's really looking forward to our time here. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is who our life appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Jew nor where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Let's pray together. Lord, our Father, again, what a joyous time it is to come together as a body, God, and to see so many people who are going to give of the time you've entrusted them with to come here to join together and to hear from your word. God, it's a blessing to be part of a body of people who are concerned about truth. God, who are concerned about life, and God, are most of all concerned about pleasing you. And God, I know that's all of our prayer together, God, that we would be able to know your will so that we can do it and please you. God, this morning, we're going to be talking about some things, as you know, that are sometimes very easy for us to miss it on in life. And God, I pray that you would help us all to be good learners today and to listen from your word, and that God, we would each one of us here would be able to leave here today with a better understanding and a plan and a willingness, God, to change. And God, that's just our prayer every day. God, the more truth that you give us, that we would be quick to do, God, to obey you and to please you, God. And that's our prayer this morning. Just open our hearts, open our understandings, and help us to see these wonderful things this morning from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Change, changing and growing. Why is it so hard? Why is change so lacking very often in the lives of some of God's people, or most, or maybe even a great portion of God's people? Well, there's a lot of reasons. But change is painful, isn't it? That may be the primary reason. Change is difficult. And if we even just think about it, and we say change here all the time, so we're used to it, we can even get insulated to it. But if you even think about the word change, it implies that there's something wrong, right? I mean, if you have to change from one thing to another, the thing that you're changing to, and we're trying to be like Christ, so the thing that we're changing to is better, so the thing that you are is not better, right? It's bad. There's things that are wrong with your life. There's things that are wrong with your character that need to change, because none of us here are Jesus Christ, and we're not going to be. None of us are going to be made perfect until one of two things happens. Either you die and God glorifies you, or he comes back for us and God glorifies you. So sin is a part of our experience, the fallenness of our world, and we have problems, fundamental character flaws. Man, we need to get that, don't we? And not just to say it in some flippant way, well, I'm a sinner and so this or that, but to understand, I am fundamentally flawed at the character level. The person who I am is flawed. Now, that's a bummer, right? No, because of the grace of God, right? God is utterly gracious, perfect in every way, and intimately involved in our lives, and that's what he's about. Taking these flawed characters that we have and are and redeeming them, making them like Jesus Christ to his glory and for our good. And so it's all part of God's plan for us to change and grow. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you did not get made perfectly holy on the spot. It's changing and growing, and it's incremental. That's a lot of the reasons as well as why we have problems with this. Now, there's two things. This is the epiphany statement here, and it's not that exciting. All right? There's two things why we have trouble changing and growing. Okay, you ready for the first one? I got it all pumped up, right? It's not that exciting. You need to obey God. Wow, that's real insightful, Pastor, right? Hey, guess what? That's where change happens. That is where change happens. And we're going to see this, and hopefully we'll flesh it out a little bit better and start to see from this text what that looks like. You need to obey God. The second thing is, you have lived like you are for however old you are. Okay? Right? That's another real insightful thing, right? Guess what? You've built up some bad habits, haven't you? You have built up a pattern of life that is sinful. And you do those things naturally. Guess what? That's a bummer too, right? But guess what the answer is? Obey God. Build up good habits. Those are the two things. And believe me, that's true. And we'll talk about it and hopefully maybe get a little bit better grounding on that today. But that is changing and growing right there. Obey God and do it consistently. Not that exciting, is it? It's not the old zap me from above. Give me some zap here, and something exciting. Let me tell you, let me give you the 72-step process to be more like Jesus. It's a lot easier than that, isn't it? It's two. Obey God and do it consistently. And as you put off the old man, as you put to death, that's all that means, is to stop doing the things that you know are displeasing to God. And you start to, and again, we'll look at this a little bit more, but as you start to say yes to God in his ways, and as you start to consistently say, obey God, then that becomes second nature. That's when real change happens in your life. And it's an internal thing. It's a heart thing. And we'll see that. Let's go ahead and let's look into this text a little bit here. And we'll continue along those same lines. So that's what I want you to really take away from here today. So wash everything else I say over that. That the main issue for you is obedience. And it's obedience over time. And as you obey God, good habits begin to be built into your life. And change happens. Notice your part in this. Now, this particular text, Colossians 3, is almost relentless, even more so than the 2 Peter one, on helping us understand that we have a part in this. And so as we look at this, we see there's no let go and let God here. God wants you involved in your sanctification. He wants you doing some hard work and changing and growing. Verse 1, seek those things which are above. Okay, that's seek it, do it. 2, set your mind on things above. That's you doing that. 5, put to death your members. 8, put off all these. 12, put on tender mercies. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving. Those are things that you actually have to do. Verse 14, put on love. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Allow it, right? It's you. You have to do that. You have to allow. And we'll talk more about that particular verse because that's a key one. The 18 through 22 talk about submitting and obeying and living with one another in a Christ-like way relationally. Verse 23, which also goes with verse 17, which I love that because it's like, for emphasis, I suppose, telling us the same thing. Whatever you do in 17, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Okay, again, more doing stuff. Whatever you do, 23, do it heartily, yes, to the Lord, not towards men. And so there's our part in it, doing it heartily. Even verse 25, the negative says, he who does wrong will be repaid, right? And so you have a part in this thing. You have an active part. And so that's another reason why sometimes growth is difficult for people, because we don't, and maybe we even think, wow, it's a hard line to walk. When am I yielding to the Spirit, and when am I yielding to my flesh, and what is my part, and how do I walk that? We'll talk a little bit more about that. But you should be able to answer that question already this morning, shouldn't you? What is your part? It's to obey God, isn't it? How do I know if I'm yielding to the Spirit? What has the Spirit said? Right here. Obey God. Right? What has the Spirit said? He said all of this. You see? That's your part. Your part is obedience. Your part is to obey God. Do all of these kind of things. That's what he's telling us to do. Obedience. That's not all that exciting of a message on a Sunday morning, is it? It's not really all that spiritual sounding either, is it? You know, give me something I can feel. Give me something. Pump me up. Get pumped up about obeying God. Man, that is the hardest thing to do too, by the way, right? Because it's a battle. It's a war. We're in war here. And your flesh wars against real obedience. And as you try to conform your life to what God says in this world, people around you are going to battle with you. You might have a battle at work. You're certainly going to have a battle in your family, right? They don't want to hear what God is doing in your life, or they don't want to see you. And I remember some people in our family telling us one time, well, you just need to let your kids decide what they're going to believe on their own. Oh, that's great. Great, great advice. Thank you. Let's just turn them loose. Let's see what we're having for dinner tomorrow. You know, it's craziness. We want to get our lives aligned with what God says, not what we feel or what the culture is telling us, what other people. And that is a battle. And it's hard. It's hard work. Whenever we try to do what God wants us to do, our part in it is very difficult. And obedience is probably even the most difficult thing you can do. Here's something that I thought of this year, and I say it all the time in counseling. The most spiritual thing you can do is to obey God. Think about that. Is that not true? The most spiritual thing you can do is obey God. That is the height of spirituality. Obey what God says. Why? Because God has gone to all the trouble to tell us his will, right? He wants it to be obeyed. I mean, if I had written a book this deep, I would want people to listen to it, right? Otherwise, it'd be a waste of my time. What has God done? I mean, he's our creator. If I wrote a book, it might be a piece of junk, right? But God has given us his perfect word. You see? He wants us to obey. The most spiritual thing you can do is obey God. John 8, 31 to 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, it's not this touchy-feely thing, which there's a lot of feeling involved in following Christ, right? It's a joy. There's a lot of that. But we can't rely on, we can't live by our feelings. We have to go and obey God, live by what he says. That's our part in the process. Now, I want to spend a little more time, although I've already ate up enough, about the process here, because this is where the rubber hits the road this morning. I really want us to get this. Now, let's look at this text here again, maybe in a little bit deeper way than we have already, and think about some of these truths. In Ephesians process, Paul lays it out. In the Ephesians passage that we read this morning, Paul lays it out a little more clearly, and it says to put off, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new. Put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new. Here in Colossians, he says the same kind of things in a little bit of a different way, in a little more extended way. It's a little easier for us to think on some application stuff here. We're going to start for today in the middle. We're going to start on the setting your mind, renewing your mind. And it says in verse 2, set your mind. I think it's 15. No, it's not 15. He says in there to have your mind renewed, 10, renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Renewed in knowledge according to Christ's likeness is what he's saying there. That's a key principle, again, for changing and growing. Okay, so we're going to put off the old man. And so why we start in the middle is because to put off the old man, we have to understand what the old man is like. All right? What am I going to put off? Well, we want to see what God says is displeasing to him. Otherwise, we can get into this whole thing of, well, I think God wouldn't want me to do this. Well, I'm sure God wouldn't want this in my life. Okay? We don't want to live there, right? We want to live in what has God said. And he's given us enough in this passage right here to put off. Be renewed in your mind. Set your mind on things above. Why is this a critical part of changing and growing? Well, think about it a little bit. A lot of people in our world are excited about growing. You know, if you just talk to people out in the world or if you Google it, you'll hear about growth, personal growth. But what does that mean? And so for us, it has to mean growing to be more like Jesus Christ. That's the only growth that's real. So if we're going to be renewed in our mind, we have to be renewed according to what Jesus Christ is, and we have to be renewed according to what God has said. Now look at this particular verse in here that helps us with this. Verse 16. This is a really rich verse. Let the word of Christ, it says richly, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now, I want you to think about the very first part of that with me this morning. As we think about, we want to put off the deeds of the old man, and we want God to renew our mind and so that we can be more like Jesus Christ and put on the new man. Notice the verbiage there. I think it's very significant. He says to let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. All right? And so let's think about it in a couple of ways that I think we can take home with us. God and God's word is not a Thanksgiving visitor. Right? It's not a, hey, can I pop over for the weekend? Right? The word of God dwells in you richly. It's at home. It's at home in your life. It lives there, right? It's part of you. It's taken up residence in you. The word of God is the thing that it's just natural. The word of God can come over to your place, kick off its shoes, and put up its feet on the couch, right? It's at home. It's not an uncomfortable visitor, right? You know when you have a visitor or if you visit someone and you go over, you're not sure if you're supposed to take off your shoes or not, and you're not sure what furniture you should sit on, and you know, you're not real sure what's acceptable in the home or whatever. But when you're at home, hey, you're comfortable there, right? This is where I live. This is all right. Now think about what that means in your life. The Word of God is just part of who you are. And so decisions in your life, small or large, are always bathed over what's God say. It's not an infrequent visitor into your life when you have a decision to make and it's huge and it's weighting you down and you don't know what to do. So, wait a minute. That's right. Somebody told me once we got to look into the Bible when we have hard stuff we got to decide, right? That's an infrequent visitor. But rather, every day you're thinking, what would God have me do in this situation? What can I best do to please my God and Savior at this time? That's what it means when the Word of God has taken up residence in your life. When the things of the Lord just sort of ooze out of you. And when you go through this life, it's not like God's Word is an uncomfortable intrusion into your everyday. It's at home. It's part of you. It's just what we do here. This is where we live. Don't worry about the mess. Have a seat. Let's enjoy some company together. Right? Let the Word of God, having your mind change, it's a fundamental change about the way that you think and act, because it's what God has said and you enjoy it. You love seeking Him. You love knowing what He has said. When you're confronted with something from the Word, it's not an uncomfortable, oh, not again, another thing I got to do, but rather it's, oh, wow, I have been missing that one. Thank you for showing me that, God. I want to change that. The Word is part of you. It's at home in you. That is how your mind is renewed. There's a lot of how-tos to that. You know, you have to be in the Word. You have to be hearing the Word. You have to have other relationships with people help and sharpen you and strengthen you in your walk with Jesus Christ. You have to have a good give and take with other people in your life if you have those that know the Lord so that they can confront you when you're not according to the Word, when the Word is not at home in you, right? There's a lot of those kind of put-on things. But the point is, it should be a natural thing. Now, if you're not seeing that, that means there's some room for growth there. If you're not seeing, if your mind isn't stayed on what God has said, and if you're not consistently saying, all right, what would God have me do in this situation? How can I please God? That's a place to grow in, a place to grow. And that's the first one, because this life is a battle. It is. You are not going to have a lifestyle of consistently pleasing God if His Word is not at home in you. You know that? You're not. You know why? It's not even going to come to mind. You're going to be confronted with something when you're out in life and you're living it, and I'm not there standing over your shoulder whispering in your ear, right? And if the Word of God is not dwelling in you, what makes you think you're going to make the right choice? You're not. The Word of Christ has to dwell, especially it's a battle. And people want you to fall. Your enemy wants you to fall. Your own flesh wars against you, and you need a weapon. I love that. 2 Corinthians 10. I always say it's 1 Corinthians 10, but 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons of our warfare are not rooted in the flesh, are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I really think that he had Satan in mind there, because Satan tried to exalt himself against the knowledge of God. And we set those strongholds up in our mind. I'm just going to do this. I don't care what God says. It's a stronghold. And it says that we can bring into captivity every thought. And it has a mind, has the idea of getting a spear and holding it to the back of a person. That's what it means to bring those thoughts into captivity. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It's a battle. We need to have that wartime mindset. Renewing your mind. Renewing your mind involves remembering who Jesus is, verses 1 and 2. That you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Remember who Jesus is. Critically important. Don't ever think that you can just do it in this life alone, but it's Jesus Christ that is at work in you. Remember who you were before Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And he goes down and lists all those things: fornication, uncleanness, passion. So that's just sort of a summary of sinful sexual habits and desires. Evil desires, covetousness, and that's a summation of idolatry. Things that captivate us and consume us, and we orient our life towards that are not of God. Things that we shouldn't give ourselves over to. Anger, wrath. Malice, which means malevolence or meanness, hatred, nastiness. Sins of the tongue, blasphemy, filthy language. He says, do not lie to one another. All of those things are things that are characteristics of a faithless life. A life that is not lived in obedience to what God has said. Faithless life. That's what faith is. You know that? Faith is taking God at His word. Faith is obeying what God says because He is God. Trusting Him. That's what faith is. Who you were. And so you don't want to go there anymore, right? That's who I used to be. That's not me anymore. I'm not going to live in those. I'm not going to be slave to those characteristics and sins and character traits anymore. I'm going to be conformed. I'm going to be renewed in my mind. I'm going to be like Jesus Christ. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what He says. Remember who you now are in Christ. Verse 1, you were raised with Christ. Verse 2, you are dead to sin. Verse 9, you are no longer the old man. Verse 10, you were renewed. Verse 11, you're accepted by God. There's no partiality. Verse 12, he says you're holy and elect. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that all things have become new. All things, everything, all of you is new. You're remade. And so you have to reject that old lifestyle, that old man. Remember who you now are. You don't have to live as a slave to your old self anymore. And again, I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again. It is the most tragic thing when a Christian lives a lifestyle of habitual sin. Because you are doing it willfully. You don't have to do it. Now, did I say it was easy to put that off? No, it's very difficult. But you don't have to. You've been freed. You've been made new. You can get victory. God can change you in anything, any area of your life. There's nothing too difficult for God. He can change you, anything. We're disobedient children when we live in those habitual sins. Old habits and old ways are built over a lifestyle. Some of these are even acceptable sins in the church today. Oh, anger. I'm just an angry person. And it blows over. It blows over and I don't even think about it anymore after that. You know how many times I've heard that? I blow up, but then I don't even think about it anymore. Guess what? Everyone else in your life does. Right? Is that not true? Oh, that person's just a gossip. Don't worry about it. Oh, that's just how she is. Acceptable sins. You're slave to those kind of things. You are not that anymore. You are new in Christ. All things have become new. And you need to take that seriously. Man, if God has done his part and he is continually working in me, what's the problem here? It's obedience. You're not willing to obey. You don't want to do what God... Well, I do want to do what God says. Well, then let's get busy on it. Get busy changing. Building new habits. Old habits are built over a lifetime. New habits take time to build. And so when you first start out in a foray of obeying God, you don't change that day, right? You know, so you're trying real hard and you're obeying God and you're making it a matter of obedience and you're searching the scriptures and you're yielding yourself to God, and then you fall into the same sin next week. I'll forget it. It took me 25 years to develop this really good sin habit, but I want to change in 1 week. Right? That isn't going to happen. It takes time, consistent obedience. But the hope in that and the joy in that is that your God, as Paul Tripp says in our video this morning, is a faithful God, and it gets easier. It gets much easier. What is second nature to you now that is unpleasing to God can be second nature to you in a way that is pleasing to God. It can happen, and it does happen regularly in God's people as they seek him and obey him. You can change, and you can change by consistent obedience, building good habits, engaging in the battle, not giving up when it gets hard. And what would happen to our soldiers? We have a great military, and our soldiers, of course, are well equipped. You got to be well equipped, but they're out there and they are trained and they are engaging in the battle. And what would happen if we got into one that was a tight scrap and all the soldiers were out there and they were face to face, and then, hey, wait a minute, they're shooting at us. What would happen? It'd be done, right? Half of them would die and we would lose. Be engaged. When it gets hard, understand that it takes time. Get engaged in the battle and make your areas of change an issue of obedience to your God. I am doing this not because that I need to change, not because I want this or that, but because all I want to do is please my God. You knew I was going to say 2 Corinthians 5:9 this morning, didn't you? Huh? You knew that, right? We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. That's it. That's our number one goal. Our aim is to please God, making the issue of obedience for change, for real change to be able to happen. Otherwise, it's just going to be your willpower. I need to stop this, and I'm going to do a better job. That's carnal. That's rooted in the flesh. What's rooted in the spirit is, this is what my God has said. I'm going to ask him for help, and I'm going to submit myself to him. That is rooted in the spirit. God, help me. I can't do this. I need grace. God, help me. My commitment is to obey you. And you know that tomorrow I'm probably not going to. Help me, God, and give me repentance daily to change. Take some time. Let God work in your life. You took a long time to build those habits. It takes a while to change them. And it doesn't take another 25 years, but it does take some time to turn those around. Look at some of these new habits, these new characteristics of the new man. They're pretty sweet. Tender mercies and kindness, verse 12. Humility and meekness, patience, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Forgiving one another, love. Look at that verse 14 with me. Just like 2 Peter chapter 1. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Above all these things. And that's what, remember 2 Peter? He said, and love was the last one. Sacrificial love, the pinnacle of Christ-likeness. Verse 15, peace and unity and thankfulness. Think about what your life is like as you live out in obedience to God, those characteristics of the new man. Think about it. What a sweet place to live. What a sweet place to live. Look at our small sampling of humanity here this morning. What if every one of us were committed to following Jesus Christ? I believe we are. And even this week, we were 2% more like Jesus at the end of the week. Wouldn't that make life a lot sweeter? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't your home be so much more joyful and sweeter if you, not your wife or husband, but if you were committed to peace, sacrificial love, meekness, humility, thankfulness, kindness? Man, wouldn't your life be better? What do you know? Our sovereign creator God got it right. He understands us, doesn't he? And he knows the life that he made you for and the life that is good for you. Praise God. As we do that, as we seek him, as we put on these new things, it's a life that is most glorifying to our great God. And that's what we're all about. It's a life that is greatest for him and his name is exalted most in this world. But it's also, as a bonus, the best life for you. Praise God. How cool. Put on. Get busy changing. Your part is obedience. Now, I said, I might have lied to you this morning. Because I said it wasn't that exciting of a message. But is that not an exciting message? Isn't it? There's nothing all that really mystical about it except for how does God change us? That is incredibly mystical. That isn't our part to worry about, right? That isn't. Our part is rooted in the truth. And there's nothing mystical about that. God has communicated to us very thoroughly what his design for life is for us, very thoroughly. And our part is to say, you are my God, I love you, thank you, yes. Yes, God, I'm going to do your will. Yes, I obey you. Change me, help me, God, work in me. Use your spirit, God, to transform me because I, in my flesh, I can do nothing. But I can do everything in Christ because it's you who works and changes. Any hard thing, any life-dominating sin, anything, what is too difficult for God? Nothing. Nothing. Amen. A few applications then for us this morning as we think about how to apply this. This whole thing is just applying. Just obey God. I mean, that's all we really need to say. Why don't you just obey God this week? I'll try to do the same. Because I have it on the notes, you better talk about it. Examine yourself for any old man areas. Bad habits. Bad habits. If you and you know what? Even as when we look into the Word, something probably comes to your mind. Does mine. This is something I need to change this week. Write that down. Start to make a plan for dealing with that. But for now, identify. That's the first thing. Now, if you're feeling a little overwhelmed in life and you have 823 things and you got some catch-up to do, that's okay, but pick one, all right? If you pick more than one, you're probably not going to change. Pick one. Keep it simple. God wants us progressive sanctification, right? He's working in your life. Pick one and ask God, God, how would you want me to change? Look into the Word. Find those things out. Ask yourself, how is this area of my life not like Jesus Christ? That's a clear indicator of how it needs to change. And how can I best please my God in this area? How can I best please God, 2 Corinthians 5:9, in this one old man area or a bad habit, something that you have done in your life that you know is displeasing to God from His Word? Keep it simple. Don't make stuff up. There's enough. And make it an issue of obedience. Secondly, renew your mind. Renew your mind. Now, we could say this generically, renew your mind, and that is, that's God's will for all of us, is to build a pattern of applying biblical principles moment by moment into your life every day. That is how God wants you to live. When you're confronted with something that you need to do, a biblical principle comes to your mind, or you try to search for a biblical principle to help you solve that problem or dilemma. But for now, I want to be more specific than that. I want you to go back to your old man area, your one thing, and I want you to ask yourself some questions. What lies are you believing about this area of your life? And you say, well, I'm not believing any lies. I know what I got to do. Well, if you're still living in this habitual sin thing, you're believing some lie. You may be believing, well, I just can't change it. You may be believing, well, but my life is a little bit better. I can handle it this way. I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't do it, but I can handle it this way. Well, you're believing a lie. You're not pleasing God. So what kind of lies are you believing? That's not that big of a deal. Yeah, I know that God says I shouldn't be doing it, but everyone does. It's not that big of a deal. You're believing a lie. What lie am I believing in this area? And that question is answered by, what does God's Word say about this? Keep it simple. Be aligned according to truth and not your opinions or your thoughts, but truth. What does God say? Because ultimately, that's all that matters. What does God say? How can I please God? Thirdly, then, change. Change. Start to live God's way. Put your plan into practice. Okay, here's what I'm doing. Here's what God says. Here's the lies I'm believing, and not for today, but here's what I'm wanting, right? Here's the goals that I have for this sin, and here's how I plan to change in obedience to what God says. That's pretty short, right? That takes some time. Take some time on that. And if it's something that's a particularly life-dominating sin, and even now you're thinking, real nice, no way, send me an email or give me a call this week. I'll help you out with it, all right? Take it seriously. Take change. Take your part in the process seriously. This is God's will for you, to change, to be more like Jesus Christ. I'm going to end with what Rabbi Zacharias said. I love Rabbi Zacharias. He's a real clear thinker. And he said, unbelievers today, so he's talking about, you know, our desire is for more people to know this great God, right? And so we talk to people. You know what? Another good evangelism technique is? You think I have time to talk about that this morning? Here's an evangelism technique for you. Be like Jesus, right? Grow yourself. People will come and ask you about it. You don't have to have all these methods, right? Grow yourself. Be holy. Be righteous. Be like Jesus. Change. Obey God. But here's what he said. Unbelievers today do not need to be convinced that the life they are living or culture is selling them is worthless. They know it. Wow, right? Is that true? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the more people that I talk to that don't know the Lord, a lot of times they're miserable. But listen to the second part here. But when a Christian talks to them, they do not see the change. They only hear the language. Why are we not reaching more people with the glorious gospel of our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ? We understand how amazing He is. We understand how incredible the life that He's calling us to. And we understand the horror of hell that He has saved us from and the glory of heaven that He has saved us to. But yet people are not pressing in. You know, shouldn't this place be pouring out into the parking lot right now with people to hear what God has to say? But they're not. Why? Because people hear the message and they don't see the change in God's people. Makes our job a lot easier, doesn't it? Obedience. Obey our God. Let Him be God in your life. Let Him change you. And let Him add the fruit. Let's pray together. Lord God, our Father, thank you so much for the way you have designed this life and the clarity that comes to us with laser accuracy from your word to cut through the mire of our confused world. God, your plan for us is not all that complicated, and we make it so. It's not all that mystical, God, but we want it mystical. God, that you desire for your people to, in faith, trusting you, to obey you. And God, that you have promised us that as we seek and obey you, you bless and change us. How awesome. God, that we would get that today, that our lives would be increasingly oriented towards Jesus Christ and his cross and the grace that you have for us in unmeasurable measure. God, that we would be continually living in light of your sovereignty, your goodness, God, your mercy and your grace, and just have a level of joy that is off the charts, where people, God, will see our changed lives, our changed relationships, and our changed attitudes, and how we, God, can react to anything in this life with joy because we know and love you. And people will want to know that same truth and will want to be led, God, to that amazing Savior that we all profess and love, God, and worship this morning. God, we just continue to ask for your blessing in our lives as we seek you and in our hour, God, as we interact in relationships, that, God, we would be that kind of people that you lay out in your scriptures for us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.